Our scripture today comes from the first letter of Peter, the second chapter, beginning with verse 4. It is an invitation to come to Christ. Come to him, Jesus, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, Jesus is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the acts of him who called you out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of each heart here, be acceptable to you, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's passage describes us as living stones and Jesus as the cornerstone. And this passage stands in a long line of biblical references to stone. I just prayed one of them from Psalm, my mouth repetition of hearts may be acceptable. Our rock, that God is our rock, an image of God. Jacob used a stone as a pillow. Joshua built a memorial out of stones. David chose 5 smooth stones with which to confront Goliath. Elijah picked 12 stones to build an altar. And then there are those less savory stories. Stephen was martyred by being stoned to death. Jesus told people that it would be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and they be tossed into the sea rather than cause another to stumble in their faith. And then today's reference to Jesus as a cornerstone, but also a stumbling block, is not unique to 1 Peter. In fact, the letter quotes other scriptures. It's an image that's found commonly in Psalms and later in Paul's writings. And of course, it makes sense that stones would find their way into scripture references. They are everywhere in the Holy Land, right? Yeah. If you doubt that, you can ask Alan and Glory. You can talk to Tian Wei, who just got back from the Holy Land. They know every place you look, there are rocks everywhere. So what is the author of this letter trying to get at with this particular use of this image? I think a hint may be found in his choice of adjective. When you think of the word, a word that describes a stone, what comes to mind?
Stability.
Hard. Some stones are smooth, some are rough, heavy, solid, as you said. Does anybody have living jump to mind? A living stone? That's what they call it here. That we are living stones. Yeah.
There's a succulent from South Africa.
Uh-huh.
Called living stone.
Okay. Oh, cool. But it's not really a stone, is it? No, it's like coral. Coral looks like a stone.
Yeah,
But it's alive. It's actually part of the. It's not a mineral. It's animal, vegetable, or mineral, vegetable. But this one is. We're called living stones, and I think that the point of that is that the author's trying to set up that juxtaposition. We think of stones as solid and unmoving and unchanging and strong and not living, but he wants us to be thinking of living stones because what we're talking about here are not pebbles that are stuck in somebody's sandal or a big boulder that's in a field somewhere that you have to get out of the field before you can plow. It's not actual stones that are carved to big buildings in Jesus' time. They are living stones because they refer to living beings. They refer to us, to you and to me. For we are the building material that God chooses to use to build not a physical house, but a spiritual one. As we come to Christ, we find ourselves, we find our place in a community through which God is revealed and worshiped and served, a place that moves us out of darkness into God's marvelous light. We think of rocks as static and unmoving, but this passage challenges that assumption. As one person I read this week puts it, we're invited to come to Jesus not to be set in stone, but to be a stone that is built into something alive and dynamic. To become part of something that's bigger than ourselves, to claim our new identity in Christ as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Which is exactly the message those first readers yearned to hear. Peter was written as a letter to churches in Asia Minor, not any one particular church, to a churches in a region, and they would pass it from one community to another where it would be read to those gathered. And who were those early Christians who had gathered? Well, they were Gentiles. They were outsiders to the faith. And by becoming Christian, they had also become outsiders to their communities. At the start of the letter, they are addressed as the elect in exile. They have been chosen by God. They are the elect. But by being chosen, they have also lost their place in the world. They no longer fit into the world in which they were raised. They now belong to the kingdom of God. They've become strangers in what was once a familiar land. And so they are encouraged by this promise. Yes, they have no people, but now they're God's people. Gathered around the cornerstone of Jesus, they are offered mercy and identity and a role. They are being built into a spiritual house where all people are welcome. Scholars debate who authored this letter and when it was first written. It is likely that it was not actually written by Peter himself, but by someone who stood in Peter's tradition, which means that it was probably written in the years just following the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. The stones that had been carefully fitted together to build a house for God, stones that are as large as the trailers that semis pull. Big, big stones have been knocked down. God's dwelling has been destroyed. The walls have tumbled. But that doesn't mean that God has no place left to dwell. No. This letter assures us that God has taken up residence now in them. In their life together, God dwelled, transforming them from no people into God's own people. Come to Jesus, they're invited. Come to him, we are invited. Come and offer yourself to Jesus, who is the cornerstone, the one upon whom we can rest our lives, the one who sets our life at correct angles, the one in whom we find our place and our purpose. That has been the invitation we have been exploring for the last few weeks as we have worked our way through this story of stone soup. 2 weeks ago, the story opened with the residents of a village panicking when they saw three soldiers approaching. Fearing that they didn't have enough to feed themselves and the soldiers, they hid their food and denied the soldiers any act of hospitality. And that week, we acknowledged the fact that we too sometimes share their fear of scarcity. We too can become so focused on what we don't have that we become fearful that we will never have enough, we will never be enough to do what God calls us to do. Then last week, we saw how the soldiers inspired generosity among the villagers when they offered to make stone soup. They took three rounded stones, placed them in a pot of water over fire. Intrigued and emboldened by the idea of stone soup, one by one, the villagers go back to their homes and return with something to add to the soup. Carrots, cabbage, meat, barley, milk. And that is our invitation as well. To recognize that God supplies us with what we need. That we all have different things to offer to the soup of hope that God is planning to simmer up in 2020 at Anaheim First Presbyterian Church. And we have been invited to go home and consider what we, and then we were invited to go home and consider what we had to offer. Now this week we finish the story. At last the soup was ready. All of you shall taste, the soldiers said, but first a table must be set. Great tables were placed in the square, and all around were lighted torches. Such a soup! How good it smelled, truly fit for a king. But then the peasants asked themselves, would not such a soup require bread and a roast and cider? Soon a banquet was spread, and everyone sat down to eat. Never had there been such a feast. Never had the peasants tasted such soup. And fancy, made from stones. They ate and drank and ate and drank, and after that they danced. Some of you got to jump on that. They danced and sang far into the night. At last they were tired. Then the three soldiers asked, is there not a loft where we could sleep? Let three such wise and splendid gentlemen sleep in a loft? Indeed, they must have the best beds in the village. So the first soldier slept in the priest's house, the second soldier slept in the baker's house, and the third soldier slept in the mayor's house. In the morning, the whole village gathered in the square to give them a send-off. Many thanks for what you have taught us, the peasants said to the soldiers. We shall never go hungry now that we know how to make soup from stones. Oh, it's all in the knowing how, said the soldiers, and off they went down the road. It's all in the knowing how. It's all in knowing that we aren't enough, but God is. And that God gathers us together, taking who we are and what we can offer to make something that will then bless the world. In this scripture passage, we are invited to offer ourselves as stones that may be built into a household of faith. In the stone soup story, we are invited to offer ourselves as ingredients that bring nourishment and flavor to God's world. But in both stories, the end result is the same. As we offer ourselves, we are blessed in ways that bless others. Hungers are fed, communities are formed, knowledge is gained, hearts are opened, and we become something more. We move from out of darkness, and it has been a dark week in our world. We're moved out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And we have a chance to live the life for which we have been chosen, to stand in the breach as royal priests, offering the gifts of peace and compassion and service to God. To stand apart as a holy nation, as people who do not live by the rules of those around us, but as people who live by grace and mercy and forgiveness. We are invited to be those who are, to be who we are so that others may become who they truly are, God's own people. Without God, we are not a people. But now with God, we are a people. We are a church. We are a family of faith. We are God's own people. That is who you are. That is the deepest reality of your life. That is what you need to know. That is how you are called to live. You may be the only preacher God has in your little corner of the world. You may be the only one someone has who can proclaim to them the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. What a difference it could make if all of us started to act as who we are. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, a people of mercy, a people of forgiveness, a people of hope, a people who carry with us gifts of light in the darkness and become a place all people find welcome. That is what we are invited to come and become this day. May we all dare to answer the call and be the people we truly are. In the story Stone Soup, it begins with three stones and a big kettle. We don't have a pot as large as in the story, but I did find three pretty good-sized ones in the kitchen. And we also have three stones. And as we come to the time of offering, I'll introduce you to the stories of those stones. But in the meantime, know who you are. You are God's people. And you are being built into something marvelous. Something that will shine the light of God from here in the heart of Anaheim. That will allow you to shine the light of God at work and in school, in your neighborhood, with your family. You are a holy people, beloved by God. Believe it and dare to live it. Amen.